Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever-precious and the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. We welcome you to the ministry of God's blessed and holy word. We continue the blessed theme that we have been having in recent weeks, relative to the coming again of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to read for our meditation today from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, and by the grace and the help of the Lord, study with you that wonderful Olivet Discourse which our beloved Savior gave before he went to Calvary and back to heaven again. Here are the words of Matthew chapter 24. We read only verses 1 through 3. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the age? May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of this section from his precious word. But before we begin the detailed study of this great Olivet Discourse, we would like to present some blessed facts and essential facts relative to the key to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew stands first among the four Gospels where it properly belongs. It could be possibly called the Genesis of the New Testament, for it is the beginning of a new dispensation which extends to the end of the millennial age in the revelation of its truth. Yet the basic foundation of Matthew's Gospel is really the Old Testament, with its messianic and its kingdom promises. From these Old Testament prophecies, there springs a new dispensation as Matthew begins his Gospel. For it is a vivid contrast between the beginning of the Old Testament and the beginning of the new. Now this fact can be seen when we realize in the beginning of the Old Testament we have the revelation of God making man in the image of God in Genesis 1:27. But in Matthew chapter 1 verse 23 we find God upon the earth in the image of man. Now the character of Matthew's Gospel is preeminently Jewish in character, for there are many passages which in their fundamental meaning can only be understood when we are familiar with the Jewish customs and the traditional teachings of the Jewish elders. Because of the Jewish emphasis, Matthew's Gospel is dispensational throughout, and it is the foundation of the New Testament, for it clearly unfolds blessed truth concerning not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles and even the church. This we should recognize, or we shall fail to properly understand the Gospel of Matthew. May we point out, though there have been well-meaning attempts to harmonize the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and arrange the events of the Lord's life in chronological order, yet the Holy Spirit has never undertaken to produce a life of Christ in that chronological way, and that is evident by the fact that the greater part of his earthly life is really passed over in silence. Then why four Gospels, one may ask? Well, in giving to us four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Holy Spirit presents to us a fourfold portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew's Gospel, he is presented as the King to the Jews, the people of Israel. In the Gospel of Mark, he is presented as God's perfect and obedient servant. in the Gospel of Luke. He is presented as a perfect and the perfect man. In the Gospel of John, it is the presentation of himself being very God, the Son of God, and the only begotten of the Father. So the four Gospels, Matthew presents him as the King. Mark presents him as the servant. Luke presents him as the man, perfect and sinless and holy and pure. And then John presents him, not only as man, but particularly emphasizing, he is very God. So when we think of the Gospel according to Matthew, we could properly call it the Jewish Gospel. For it speaks concerning their king and the kingdom. And it is dispensational, though contrary to the teaching of some, it is dispensational throughout, speaking of the Jews, speaking of the Gentiles, and even the Church of God in anticipation, as no other gospel does. So let us keep this in mind as we study our lesson, which we have before us in chapter 24 and chapter 25, the Olivet Discourse. Now as we open our chapter 24, this great Olivet Discourse is the last great message of the King before his ultimate rejection and crucifixion and his return back to heaven. This discourse was delivered to his own disciples, and may I emphasize, it concerns the future. For the King is revealing the future of his kingdom. Though rejected and crucified and rejected by the world. But when we come to these questions that we have in the opening of our scripture, we find the Lord Jesus being asked questions by his own disciples regarding his second coming. And he has stated some things to them relative to what would happen in relation to the temple, in relation to the buildings of the temple, as they showed the glory of those buildings as they undoubtedly walked to the Mount of Olives. But as he sat upon the Mount of Olives in verse 3, the disciples came to him privately. They asked him this question, a threefold question. Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? And of the end of the age, which is the proper translation of the word world. And the Lord Jesus answers these three questions to his disciples, as we may continue in verse 4, going down to verse 44. And then he speaks, following that, in Matthew 24, 45 through chapter 25 and 30, three parables, closing with the last great section of the prophecy of the great judgment of the living nations. Now look in Matthew 24 in verse 1 and 2. Let's notice that the Lord Jesus had told his disciples before they asked their questions the destruction of Jerusalem. They came to show him the buildings of the temple, which may have been beautifully setting in the light of the sun as it set that day. And the glory and the beauty of those buildings were certainly evident. And yet the Lord Jesus in verse 2 declares, "Do you see all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." May I point out very emphatically, let us realize, let us recognize, the destruction of Jerusalem is foretold by the Lord Jesus. Without question of doubt, it was at least 40 years later before that destruction was ever fulfilled, and the words of our Lord Jesus verified. But he told his disciples this would take place before they asked their questions, which have resulted in this great discourse. Now let us note the questions carefully. There are three separate questions. First of all, they ask, when shall these things be? We believe that is in regard to the prediction of Jerusalem's destruction. Reading the Gospel of Matthew and the account that follows, it seems to be unanswered in Matthew. But we would suggest you have a definite report of it in Luke's Gospel. You may read chapter 21, verses 20 through 24, and you will find Luke enlarging upon the fact of the destruction of Jerusalem. But we know from all the evidences of even secular history, it took place in the year A.D. 70, under Titus the Roman general, when the city was ultimately destroyed, and those of the earthly people of God were banished separately in many nations of the world to be scattered. But then there is the second question. Let me point it out, which will be the greater part of this prophecy in the discourse. What shall be the sign of thy coming? This is the second question, probably raised because of his words in chapter 23 and verse 39. For the Lord Jesus Christ had made a statement at the end of chapter 23, after weeping and wailing over Jerusalem and its rejection of him. And these are the words that he spoke. I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. My beloved, may I very forcefully and vividly try to present to you that on that sad occasion, as he wept and wailed over the city of Jerusalem and its rejection of him, he declared a fact that has certainly been proved. You will never see me again until you say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now throughout all the history of God's earthly people, they have never said that yet. But they will. But now let's look at the third question in closing. The third question is in relation to the end of the age. The word world in the authorized version should be age. And realize that these Jewish disciples knew nothing of the Christian age at that time. But they inquire about the Jewish age. And what they would want to know, what and how the Jewish age would end. And thus this Olivet Discourse will begin in the will of the Lord as we continue on. But let us ask God to bless the truth that we have covered. Father, illuminate our hearts and our minds to the glory of the Savior and the blessing of our souls. In Jesus' name, Amen.